Want to help keep the lights on in Anarchy Basement? Then go to PRLFans.com. There you can find links to Patreon, PayPal, our Bitcoin info, and other ways to help support the podcast. Now, enjoy the show.
Hello, welcome to the Punk Rock Libertarians Podcast, episode 489. I'm Otto, and tonight I'm joined with Jared.
What's up, guys?
The non-state hostile intelligence service. Thank you for your service, James.
Great to be back.
And the token minarchist. That'd be Kyle right there. Thanks, Kyle.
Hey, everybody.
Thanks for having me.
Somebody has to do it.
It's a tough
Somebody's got to stick up for communism around here.
Right. I
mean, we bash it all the time, but it's really not fair to just never let anybody speak up for government.
Right.
Yeah, who's thinking about government?
Oh, man.
Who's got government's best interests in mind?
I forgot a topic. Did you guys see the UFC guy?
Oh, yeah. The guy who said something about reading Mises, right? Mises.
Mises, yeah. He said, if you care about your country, you care about politics, you should read The Six Lessons by Ludwig von Mises. After his win, you know, his face is all battered and beaten. And Joe Rogan's like interviewing him after the match. Yeah. On a Saturday night, and he said he was Brazilian, and he said it changed my worldview on money and politics and everything and economics. And he's like, please read that book. Now, he doesn't realize that it's not called The Six Lessons in the United States. You know, it's called Economic Policy Thoughts for Today and Tomorrow. So if anybody wants to read that book, which I recommend, it's like Human Action is like 1300 pages or whatever it is. This book is like, it's like 150 pages, you know. It's very digestible, and it's fabulous. And
if MMA fighters are into it, like, you know, like you libertarian couch potatoes out there should absorb it.
Well, like, look at the Communist Manifesto, right? A lot of that's an easy read. You have to have something that's easy to understand, that's not just going to overwhelm people. Like, I'm not reading this book that's thicker than the Bible. But if you give somebody something thin, it's like, hey, you know, check this out.
And well, that's the beauty of economics in one lesson.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a good
one. Another great freaking book. So I would put this one right there. Those two would be like my one and two for like books to recommend to somebody. Maybe Mises's Liberalism as well. But, you know, I would probably recommend Economic Policy Thoughts above that. It just has a terrible title. Like, why couldn't they name it The Six Lessons like it is in South America, which is so much better? It's like, oh, only six lessons. This is easy.
Yeah.
You know?
Anyway. Yeah. That was pretty cool. I was like, there's no way. I thought maybe it was like AI, like people like change the video to get him to say it.
Oh, you said to watch the Punk Rock Libertarians podcast?
Yeah, we should do. Why don't we do that? We should make a video of that. If only I wasn't such a boomer when it came to these things.
How come MMA fighters are the ones that seem to be the most like educated now? Like, is this a statement about academia or about like how cool MMA fighters are?
James, it's South America. It's South America. Look at Argentina. They elected Javier Milei. You know, like. An ANCAP. There's like pictures of him dressed up as like ANCAP man or some shit. Like, it's nuts.
The ANCAP Zionist.
They are really, it's popular down there. The libertarianism is much more popular, you know, than it is here in South America. And you're starting to see that like reflected in their politics. You know, it's Brazil and Argentina. Of course, they also have, their governments are I don't know if I can say they're worse than ours, but they're very corrupt. And, you know, they're sick of it. They're sick of the poverty. They're sick of suffering. And so this is like a fresh new thing, and they're excited about it.
Hey,
but how is that the MMA fighters are the ones that are like bringing the good word to the people, you know, like,
like start spreading the news.
Hey, wasn't Jesus a carpenter? I mean,
right.
The WWE guy's
allegedly,
you know, Kane, right? Glenn Jacobs, mayor.
Oh, yeah. There must be something about, you know, physical violent sports like that are, or like, remember the one dude, the NFL guy, Russell Okung or whatever? Remember that guy?
Who?
Russell O, what's his name?
Oh, like Russell Okung.
Okung. Yeah. Yeah, it's never the, it's not going to be like academics, like it's not going to be like like professors like going on CNN like read the six lessons.
No. Man, it's awesome though. It's so awesome. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me, man. I watched that clip and I was like, "Oh my gosh," you know.
Well,
hopefully somebody reads a book.
They did. I saw some of the people that were working with the Mises Institute saying that that book like went completely sold out. And they had like 25,000 downloads of the PDF.
Wow.
Like the Portuguese afterwards. The Portuguese version? Or
yeah. Well, yeah, just in general of it.
Oh, I got like 10 copies on my bookshelf over here because when I was, you know, really into it, I was going to give them away. I was going to a lot of political events and I was like, man, if
back
there's
in the
one
balloon
book,
days.
One book I could give away. Yeah. If there's one book I could give away, it would be this one. So I bought like a whole bunch of extra copies to hand out. I was going to, Campaign for Liberty meetings every month. You know, there was a lot
of people.
Dude,
I had never even heard of this book.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, it's awesome.
I've heard of it. Yeah.
I mean, I've read like some of Human Action and I've just read a bunch of his articles and shit, obviously, but
I've seen all the memes.
Yeah.
Infographics.
I've read more Rothbard. I've read more Rothbard than I have Mises, probably.
Oh, you're missing out. As I like to say, Mises is way better. Way better.
Did you read this by Rothbard? Nations by Consent.
Well, I read
90s
Manny,
Rothbard.
I mean, Man Economy State is basically, at least the beginning of it, is just Human Action just written
right,
less like more graspable. But then obviously he comes up with his own ideas, some of which are crazy, Unleash the Police, all this kind of stuff. But you know,
yeah. Rothbard went on a lot of like that was very out of like uncharacteristic, right? He has this kind of like,
I don't know. Who knows? Who cares?
Otto, what's going on with you? You're like,
Otto just doesn't give a fuck anymore.
Like, I don't know. I don't care.
You're like, Rothbard.
This is great podcast, but like,
well, no, I care. I kid. I just, who cares? Like, everyone wants to debate, like, oh my gosh, the 90s. I'm like, who cares? The guy was awesome. He really was onto a lot of shit. And he may have something you don't like here and there. Who cares? Like, he's still better than all the rest.
No, I mean, dude, I like I said, I started reading Human Action. I was like, damn, this is like dense. Obviously, like English, like it's translated. So whenever shit's translated, it's never quite as accessible. And then I started reading Man Economy and State, and I was like, oh, this is like the same kind of content, but just well written and written. Not that Mises isn't a good writer, but like it was written for a different audience. I feel like it's like less academic, but still, you know, high minded. Still requires like thought. It's not like explain it like I'm five, but I don't know. I just liked reading Man Economy and State more. I never finished, but
yeah, they're both hard reads. I mean, to read a political book that's over, you know, hundreds and hundreds of pages, you know, it's hard enough just to get through like a novel that's exciting and interesting. That's that many pages. Let alone these things, economic treaties.
But back then I was just so excited about it. I was like, it was just like brand new ideas. Like I would never sit down and read it now because I'm like, I already know all this shit.
Right.
Even though,
like, I need to reread Economics in One Lesson because that stuff in that book, it comes up every day, right? I heard there's a McDonald's that's going to be fully automated. Did you guys hear that?
Yeah, I've heard
that. I think Arizona.
They never consider the unseen.
Yeah.
Never.
Well, and somebody was like, oh, you know, we need to boycott this. And I was like, look, you know, like if automation is bad, you know, like what about computers? What about cars? What about tractors that plow fields?
What about shovels?
Like, shovels. Yeah, exactly. Like we don't want to say we're not going to use tools because labor saving devices, because we want to preserve jobs that we don't need. You know, it's better off to have people doing stuff that's productive. And then as a society,
and you still hear it now, though. You hear it like, oh, well, you shouldn't buy that stuff from China where it's cheap. You should buy it here and pay more for it.
These are also the same people that are like, oh, the 40-hour work week is oppressive.
Oh, I know.
The 5-hour work, the 5-day work week is oppressive. It's like, well, if we allow some of that work to be taken up by labor saving AI or just automation, like
that's too,
doesn't that kind of help you guys out? No, but that's our gerbs. You know, it's like,
right.
Dude, none of this makes sense.
You know, we didn't, it's also not on the topic list, but it was tax week. Right.
Oh, yes.
And if you
those that presumably have been victimized,
I mean, you have to work like two of the 5 days of the week just to pay taxes.
Yeah.
You know, if you take the federal rate plus the state rate, you know, a lot of people, if you make like kind of a middle ground income, it's 2 days of work to pay the taxes for that week. Or maybe like a day and a half. I mean, it's a heavy bite that they take. So,
Well, on our after hours and Fed level, we can discuss certain tax strategies to help minimize your contribution to the state. But we're certainly not going to do that on the open channels.
Yeah, you got to pay for that. You got to pay for that.
Yeah,
I think my favorite Mises lesson is about private property. It says I'll probably butcher it, but without private property. It's a justification to have private property, to say without private property, you can't have exchange. And without exchange, you can't have prices. And without prices, you can't allocate resources correctly, and resulting in human suffering. You know, so, yeah. I mean, it's really, I'm kind of mangling it, but it's a perfect progression of logic.
Yeah.
Yeah, that really wasn't a bad interpretation. I think he was talking about capital goods, you know, specifically with that quote talking about. But, you know, I don't know that the communists even oppose personal property. They don't want to take your toothbrush. That's what they say, you know, or like your television. Like you can really have personal property, but it's.
But you might have to share your laptop and your girlfriend, you know, like. Yeah.
I don't know where they draw
personal
that line.
Personal property is what we say personal property is.
Right. At some point, right.
There's a clear differentiation between personal property and private property, right? Private property is what you have and they want. Personal property is their stuff.
Yeah, I guess right. So. Yeah. I don't know exactly how they figure out what the state needs to expropriate. You know, anything owned by a rich person, I think they want to make public property.
Yeah.
More than what they
have.
They're
all fucking, they're a bunch of wackies. Fuck them.
Ada's just like, dude, like over it or something.
I just, who cares? The communists won. We're all just dealing with it, you know? Like just like every time I hear someone speak from the government, I'm like, the Fabians were so right. The Fabian socialists.
Oh, you know, what's been really funny. Have you guys been following this FISA amendment renewal vote?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of this kind of stuff.
Yep.
People are really upset about it because they're awarding themselves all kinds of new like legal powers for spying and commandeering networks and forcing compliance, all kinds of shit. Like it's pretty bad. And everyone's like, oh, better call our senator. Oh,
I thought they already voted on it. Didn't it pass? It passed the Senate. It passed the House barely.
The House set it up to, from what I understand, to be like, to be exactly 212-212 to block an amendment to require warrants.
Warrants.
Like
yeah,
somehow you need an amendment to have a search warrant necessary. But it's clown world. And the funny thing is like, I mean, imagine if we all call our senators and okay, we did it. Guys, we voted. They voted no. You know, like who really thinks that like over at Langley, they're going to be like, oh no, we got a no vote. Whoa. Pull the plug. Stop listening.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, if they say you need a warrant, then they have to shut it down and start getting warrants.
No, they don't find another way to backdoor it.
Yeah.
My understanding is it was illegal. Then Snowden came out and blew the whistle on it. They had denied it. Snowden came out and blew the whistle on it. Then they're like, yeah, but we're going to retroactively make it legal. And that's how you got this whole FISA bullshit. Maybe somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but that's why you need to. And then it's been renewed. And
It's a power struggle, right? There's a lot of pushback between the intelligence community who wants to do whatever the heck they want without warrants. They want to be able to spy on anyone. And then the civil liberties people who want to restrain government, you know? So it's not only a battle for votes.
Those people are out of it. The people that want to restrain are not present or have any ability to do so. The Congress was set up to be a perfect defeat of the amendment, like 212 to 212. And the Speaker of the House, who normally doesn't vote, like voted to make sure that warrants weren't going to be happening. Okay.
I heard that.
Previously, like, condemning FISA courts. Like, he flips, suddenly he flips, and Congress is all set up. Just enough people got to vote against it to give him a little cover back home. But they got exactly the result they wanted. They pressed on all the right people, and the Congress is powerless to resist the national security state. There's no way they're going to stop them. And this is just for the courtesy. Like, first of all, the FISA court itself, didn't they approve 99% of all requests anyway? And it was just like a technical form that the people had to fill out. Now they don't even, you know, they're like, they can't even be bothered with a technicality.
It shouldn't be that easy. I mean, they should have to present what their evidence is for why they want the warrant, you know, in the first place to a judge and say, hey, we have something on this guy.
Yeah. Cops can force suspect to unlock phone with thumbprint, U.S. court rules. The ruling says,
yeah, do not set up fingerprint on your phone. Dude, that's I mean, not just cops, but anybody. Oh, I hear you got Bitcoin. You know, better unlock that.
Well, don't put
Bitcoin on your phone, for one.
What do you guys do?
It doesn't mean somebody won't like try to like beat it out of you or try to, you
they
know,
just have
get,
to hold
get a
my
hold
phone
of
up
your
to my face. Like, I have the face unlocked.
You don't do that facial recognition, do you?
Well, that's what all the iPhones have now is the facial recognition shit.
You don't have to use it, though.
No, you could do the code and all that.
Yeah, I do the face. So they would just have to hold up my phone to my face and unlock it.
There's only one way to defend against this. It's basically to have like a fake password or something, and or like a fake, like if like or if you do the facial recognition, you know, with a certain like with one eye open, it triggers a self-destruct.
Yeah. No. Yeah. What you need is like, yeah, I was actually talking about this earlier, but. Yeah, you have two sets of codes. One code unlocks your phone. That's what you use. And then the other one is the one you give the cops. When they type that in, it just completely resets your phone.
Or it triggers like an EMP blast that just
takes or just explodes. Block.
A frag turns into an incendiary grenade.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Snowden, he had a cool tweet from today. I can't find it anymore, but he says, cool. So this week, the Senate is voting to let the NSA take over the internet and authorize warrantless surveillance of Americans. And the House is voting to take another $100 billion from you, a tenth of a trillion, to squander on fruitless foreign wars. Very cool.
But the funny thing is to see people like scrambling to get on the phone and call their senators, like somehow they're going to have an impact. They just got threatened by the CIA to have their kids murdered, you know, like if they don't vote the right way. And like, you're going to call up and ask them to defend free, you know, like freedom of information or freedom of speech. I mean,
yeah, I think if they get overwhelmingly called to vote a certain way, that they do take that into account. So we have different impressions of what pressures these people respond to. I think they do respond to
sexual blackmail, number one.
Yeah. Right? No, listen. We did that for Defend the Guard in Maryland. We had
piles of money, people, number two.
We had people from all over calling one politician. She was the one vote that was holding it up. We started calling her donors, her top donors. We started calling everyone pressure. She got hundreds of phone calls and she still said no. She was the one person that was stopping Defend the Guard from passing in Maryland.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what do they have to do? Just not pick up the phone.
They don't care.
She or just have their secretary pick it up.
They don't decide.
The unconstitutional. Like what? Like they don't
even
care.
At the state. So, and that's at the state level, right? So that is that a state senator?
Yes. Yes.
They think they're little, you know, they think they're like little royalty, like even at the state level.
Yeah, it's sad. I've given up calling people. Like, it just doesn't work. It doesn't work. And I'm not saying
people should be concerned. But you know what you need to, what we need to do, and I'm speaking to myself specifically, is to double down on technological privacy devices, VPNs, Proton Mail, you know, de-Googling your phone. You know, like, it's a bitch, but or call your senator. I mean, you know,
yeah, I don't know. I still believe in the purpose
Start
of the
digging a temporary shelter or call
I switched to DuckDuckGo. I don't know if they're any better, but
probably not at this point.
I just didn't like how Google, like, I would search something and then I'd get ads for it in my Facebook, like, you know, 5 minutes later. And I'm like, you guys are like tied together and passing data back.
Well,
and
that's
forth.
Something the browsers are going to start blocking, allegedly, is this cross site cookie sharing.
Yeah.
So that's how that shit works, is like, you go on Facebook, they put a cookie on your system, and then they continue. It like continues to be read from like site to site. So they're allegedly blocking that shit in the major browsers, but
we'll see.
We'll see.
I mean,
it's probably why my browser like takes like all my computer memory just to run, because it's constantly broadcasting everything I've done on the internet for the past 20 years. Right. Yeah. Like, imagine that, like the pile of cookies that just accumulates. Oh, he's interested in trucks. He's interested in anarchy. He's interested in 3D printing weapons. He hates, well, you no, know,
that's,
like, he's
that's just stored on their, that's just stored on their servers now.
Yeah.
Them cookies are long gone.
They all have a
that's
profile.
That's at the NSA at this point.
I mean, there's a profile on all of those.
Joe's a new fan. Oh, really new appreciate fan. All hey, the Joe. New fans. First time listeners. You know, he said it sounds like a perfect time to plug Brave Browser.
Brave's
good. That's what I'm using right now, actually.
Ooh.
To broadcast this.
But do you ever feel like just overwhelmed, where you feel like to really gain any kind of privacy is just impossible? It's just,
you just
like,
gotta log off and go touch grass.
You know, we're using GPS and Facebook and you know, it's just like to really separate yourself from that, like you become a hermit in the woods. Yep. And so there has to be some level in the middle that's doable for regular people, but still some basic protections.
Well, they always talked about the chip. They're going to microchip us. And then we got smartphones, and now we carry a computer around in our pocket with GPS. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, not just a GPS, but the cameras and microphones and motion sensors and gyroscopes. And radios and
your phone probably knows you better than you know yourself. You know,
it's
like, I know this guy likes big butts. Like, I'm going to, you know, they know exactly what you like.
No, it's but oh, like, no, it's I like big butts, I'm not looking up. It's like, no, it doesn't, because it recommends me like tranny porn. I'm like, hey, I wasn't gonna watch that.
Hey, I was like, just curious one day.
Why does this thing think I like?
It was part of a
porn.
Research project I was doing.
Sure.
Like,
researching
step
am
porn.
I gay? The answer is yes. No, I'm just kidding. Well, yeah, man, like, it's just, I don't feel hopeless about it. It's just like the government literally created the internet. I don't think everything you guys do there. There's not just some nerd that's at the NSA. It's like, that's funny, guys. I see you, you know, and like, that's just how I feel. Like, they can rewind the internet. They have all the power and control.
Well, you know what? It's still an arms race. And like, every once in a while, things turn around that give me some hope, where there's, you know, like, I haven't really seen anything pan out, but there was like hope of, you know, like a decentralized DNS alternative, or, you know, like different way, or, you know, different, like, decentralized file sharing, things like that. So, you know, like using, HPFS.
Yeah. That's the,
yeah,
that's like the decentralized storage thing.
Intergalactic file sharing protocol, IPFS.
IPFS. Yeah. Yeah. I was looking into that actually like a year ago.
For
setting up podcast hosting, but
guys,
it's just not fast enough.
What? The FBI says Chinese hackers are preparing to attack U.S. infrastructure. Why do I feel like I always see this?
Wait, what? Aren't they just...
And they're going to do it with Bitcoin.
But the thing is great though is like, all right, so what happened, and we gotta talk about like everyone's like saying, oh my gosh, World War III starting. And I kind of think, I was like, nah, it's not. It's really not.
Dude, it's already started.
I'm like, well, because, you know,
it's been going on since the Cold War.
You don't know you're in. They didn't say like, OK, we started World War One today or we started World War Two today. They kind of like figured it out after the fact. They're like, holy
you're
shit.
Like, all right, D-Day, I guess.
Yeah, they started with like one conflict and then other countries joined the conflict. Right.
Yeah.
Right. And then people say, well, I guess it kind of started when Archduke Ferdinand, you know, or I guess it kind of started when. You know, like when
Leopold,
you
know,
when they Iranians attacked Israel, they say, or when right, or when Putin attacked Ukraine, right, or who knows what they'll say.
It would be the Hamas attack on Israel, right? And there's two conflicts really going on, right? There's the Russian Ukraine.
The sarcasm has gone straight over your head, buddy.
Okay, sorry. I was just focused on a technicality, I guess. Yeah, the Iranian attack seems to be an escalation.
It's called autism.
It's called being autistic. Not being able to handle social cues.
I'm sorry, Kyle. You don't deserve that. Here's the thing. I want to make for the record. See, Alex isn't here tonight, and I'm not taking this opportunity to call him gay and all these other things and fat and a loser like other certain hosts do.
Well, how would you know we did that to you when you weren't here?
Excuse me? What?
What makes you think we would ever say anything like that on the show when you're not?
I got a message from Jared laughing like, holy shit, you got ripped apart in the first minute there, Otto. Yeah, thanks, Kate.
I ratted Kate out.
Yeah.
But also it's recorded and
I was going to listen because I figured it was coming, but I just didn't think it would be from her.
But it was pretty funny, though.
She's savage.
I know.
I got to listen to that. I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
First minute?
Yeah. 2 weeks ago.
It was like the intro. She actually took over the intro.
Fucking Kate.
That's how sorry this podcast is. We have our guest do the intro now.
But Kyle, I told her, I was like,
to just obey, though. They were like, just go ahead and take control. You know, no problem.
She was like, you hate me now. And I'm like, and I said, no, I don't hate you. I said, I'll just take glee when your new digital currency gets linked to your social credit score. And then you have to answer why you fat shamed me on the internet. Like, so when that happens eventually in the next few months, it'll all be fine. But yeah. So Alex is out here. As you guys can tell. I know I miss him, but I'm not going to take this time to trash him. So I'm better than that.
You're a good man.
I am. Trying to be. I'm still a sinner, but trying to be better. James' eyebrows in that.
Weeks without an autistic moment on PRL, 0.
Yeah.
Reset the counter.
Lived many of those weeks, my friend Brandon. Those are few and far between around these parts.
You guys want to talk about this NPR editor?
Sure.
Yeah. Holy shit, I forgot about this. This is great. This is some serious here, like my new button. As you can see, 1984.
Nice.
Some 1984 shit.
National Pentagon Radio. I mean,
yeah.
First of all, some people seem to be shocked that government-funded radio would promote government narratives over the truth. Like, whoa, like nobody imagined it could happen. They're so busy trying to get like a Sesame Street tote bag, right? or watch some kind of nature show. Like they completely forgot that it's propaganda from the state.
Yeah, this was unbelievable. I mean, I don't know if anybody read the article, any of our listeners, if you read this article, but I mean, he pretty much said what I think most people that are not leftist already knew, which was that NPR is gone pretty far left and that they're all Democrats. They have no Republicans or independents. and they have fully bought into the progressive agenda or progressive talking points. And he really complained. It was really bothering him how stories that they would run would they would never retract or apologize for being wrong. They would only do stories that, you know, would hurt Trump, like the Russiagate story. And then they were intentionally ignoring big stories that would potentially hurt Biden, like the Hunter Biden laptop. And it was bothering him that they were being politically partisan, and also that they would never admit wrongdoing or retract anything that they were saying.
And so this guy did an article a couple of weeks ago, and it got a lot of traction. I saw it like getting shared over and over and over again. Basically, yeah, saying, like you said, the same thing we all knew. I think like from his perspective, it's like they used to be pro state, you know, on both sides of the aisle, and now they're only pro state on one side of the aisle. But so then they fired him after writing that.
No, they suspended him.
Suspended
for 5 days.
I'm sure they would like to fire him.
Middle post school on Twitter for 5 days.
He's suspended without pay. So basically, they don't pay him for 5 days, and he can't.
They would like to fire him, I'm sure. You know, he's basically calling out his colleagues for being partisan Democrats, which they totally are. So
can you play the video of the NPR CEO? Because she really cast some light on the situation, too.
Where did
I had posted the link early. I don't know if it's in there.
Let's see. Yeah,
it's called NPR. Yeah, there we go.
The hard things, the places where we are prone to disagreement, say politics and religion. Well, as it turns out, not only does Wikipedia's model work there, it actually works really well. Because in our normal lives, these contentious conversations tend to erupt over disagreement about what the truth actually is.
Oh, that's creepy.
When we write these articles, they're not focused on the truth. They're focused on something else, which is the best of what we can know right now. And after 7 years of working with these brilliant folks, I've come to believe that they are onto something, that perhaps for our most tricky disagreements, seeking the truth and seeking to convince others of the truth might not be the right place to start.
I'm going to pause it there.
Our reference.
Would you say, Bab?
First of all, she's got a good stylist, right? Like for an executive, right? Like she's doing okay, don't you think?
Sure. She ain't bad.
But so what do you think?
Is that why we're stopping the video?
Yeah, I was like, what?
Yeah, she said that starting with the truth might not be the best thing, but I mean, I'm curious what her butt is going to be.
To play a little status advocate, I kind of get what she's saying, though. She's saying rather than like proclaim like this is the truth, it's sort of taking the scientific method and saying like this is the best theory that we have now. But I don't think that's what NPR does.
Well, she's starting by comparing it to the Wikipedia model, right? I don't know if you caught that part, but she's saying the Wikipedia model works so great. Yeah. And if you want to know what year Abraham Lincoln was born, it's great, right?
Yeah.
If you want to learn about, like some particular caterpillar, it's going to be great. But if you want to look up a controversial figure, somebody who's alive today, a political commentator, they're going to be completely smeared. It's completely politicized, completely censored, completely edited, completely controlled by leftist narratives. And this is what she is saying, like, ooh, this is the Holy Grail. She goes on, and why don't we see what else she has to say?
For the truth might be a distraction that's getting in the way of finding common ground and getting things done. Mm. Now,
the truth gets in the way.
That is not to say that the truth doesn't exist.
That's not what
nor is it to say that the truth isn't important. Clearly, the search for the truth has led us to do great things, to learn great things. But
that was in the past.
I think if I were to really ask you to think about this, one of the things that we could all acknowledge is that part of the reason we have such glorious chronicles to the human experience and all forms of culture is because we acknowledge there are many different truths. And so in the spirit of that, I'm certain that the truth exists for you and probably for the person sitting next to you. But this may not be the same truth. This is because the truth of the matter is very often, for many people,
it's nebulous.
What happens when we merge facts about the world with our beliefs about the world. That's so we all opinion. Have different truths. They're based on things like where we come from.
Only we had an independent news source that could help us get to the facts of the case.
That's called an opinion.
Instead of worrying about everybody's individual truth, perhaps we'd have reporters that could just give us the facts. Tell us what happened. Shut up.
Yeah, I didn't like what she said, but I'm trying to understand what she said. I mean, obviously,
well, I misunderstood. Right? I thought she was getting at something else, but then that kind of barreled off into some nonsense about. I mean, look, there's definitely subjectivity when it comes to things. I mean,
no, there's not.
This is a news organization. This isn't like a poetry journal, like discussing what kind of poems to publish. They're supposed to be like an objective news source, you know. At least parading themselves as that, you know. Like,
yeah, no, it's
Joe,
not the
Joe asks, is this woman doing a Kamala impression?
Yes, she
she's
is.
She's doing a better Kamala.
She's like a more eloquent Kamala.
She's far more talented than Kamala.
Whoa, that was borderline racist, Jared.
I didn't say she was more, what's the word? What's the word? Articulate.
Articulate.
But, you know, put this kind of talk in context with what that editor wrote, you know, his critique, right? And now they're censoring the guy that critiqued them, right? Like, they're not on the path yet to being like, yeah, we really did fuck a bunch of shit up. Like they if they want to regain credibility, it's got to start with them being like, holy shit. Yeah, this is what we did wrong. Let's start with Hunter Biden laptop. Let's start with Russiagate, you know, and then let's keep going. Let's talk about how we helped with weapons of mass destruction. You know, like the list of bullshit that they've pushed over the generations is long, and, you know, maybe it just needs to go away. It just can't be. It just can't be trusted. I don't know. Yeah. Just.
I mean, I think it's impractical or impossible to expect there to be zero bias in media, but there's bias. It's like if I go to antiwar.com, like I know they're biased against war, right? It's in the fucking name, right? But they're going to report the facts. And they're going to be, you know, they might miss some things. Maybe they're not, you know, giving enough credit to whatever, but at least they're clear about what the bias is. But you have NPR, which people still claim is like center, middle, maybe center left. And clearly they're just, you know, I don't even know if you'd call them, they're just like government propaganda machines. Like it's not even like, oh, clearly these guys are biased. But like, at least they're like reporting news. It's like, no, they're just spewing.
These are
propaganda.
The NPR fans. They're the ones thinking that Trump is trying to censor books in elementary schools. Like, they're really concerned about book banning.
There's bias, and then there's just making up shit, right? It's
like, yeah, I have a
or
friend
just
that
pushing conspiracy theories, and then calling things that are fact conspiracy theories.
I have a friend that was lobbying for the FISA bill to pass. He works for an organization like involved with the drug trafficking. And, you know, so it's related to his work. You know, he's there for basically for work, but their organization is all about, you know, spying on drug dealers, right? That's what they do. And so they want this to pass. They're trying to support the law enforcement team officers and so that they can you know, spy more easily on drug traffickers. And that was his sole purpose. He really wasn't concerned about, he had no qualms with the privacy violations and everything. And it just shows you kind of like how our personal experience like shapes how we think, you know. I mean, I think
if you're like a slave overseer, then you think, you know, like this is great.
Well, that's his bias. Like first of all, he's probably never even considered that the war on drugs is a waste of time. You know? No, I didn't.
Alex asked, did you have him over for coffee?
No. I mean, he was telling us about it and I was like, okay. You know, I didn't know the background at that time that this was, I didn't know what he did for a living. I had to look it up afterwards and figure out what his job was and why he was doing this. And that gave me better understanding. I mean, I guess I could have just asked him, but at the time I was like, I don't want to start arguing about this right now. And maybe I need to be more confrontational. I don't know.
Like, what the hell are you doing? Leave those drug dealers alone.
I didn't
alone.
Say that.
Jerk.
I didn't say, yeah, I was thinking.
Yeah.
That.
Why didn't you stand up for the drug dealers?
You should be ashamed. Like,
well, the risk isn't,
someone's got to stand up for them.
It's just like, how big of a can of worms do you open? Do you know, do you go, let's look at alcohol prohibition. Let's look at what a waste of time the war on drugs is. Let's look at how much money you guys are wasting pursuing drugs when, you know, and the war on drugs has been going on for like 50 years and you haven't stopped drugs. So you're just a constant waste of money. You know, your job shouldn't even exist.
Nobody involved
in
the war on drugs thinks they're doing anything but just cashing a check.
No, that you're wrong. They think, no,
they're
think
there
actually
are
helping.
There are zealots out there.
They think they're helping the community, keeping, you know, the bad, hard drugs out of
the
community.
Time they find a black person or a deadhead on the highway, like, this is what they trained for. This is, they go home and they're going to tell their kids about the roach they found in that Chevy pickup truck ashtray.
They think they're doing good. They really do think they're do-gooders, but, you know.
So would any middle management plantation like worker, right?
We all have our perspective, you know, and his perspective is just based on what he does is different than my perspective, I guess. And, you know, I think he's wrong. I can argue my case pretty well, but, you know, he's getting paid to be there to, you know, try to get congressmen to vote the right way or his way.
Right. He's not going to have an understanding when his job depends on him not understanding.
Yes. That's right. He's got financial stake in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some people
and
do.
And also don't talk to cops.
Yeah, Kyle.
Don't offer him cookies.
How do you know he wasn't like surveilling you at that time?
Yeah. His phone was already doing the work.
I mean,
he put a surveillance device in the dip.
You know, I'm sure the intelligence community is interested in more than the drugs, right? They want to continue to surveil for terrorist reasons or whatever. It can so easily be abused once they have that
political
power to
opponents.
Do whatever they want, you know, political reasons or whatever. So
Libertarian Party,
yeah, yeah, they're coming for us. It's fine.
It's fine.
Well, you know,
Is it going to jump off at the Maryland convention? Are we going to get raided by feds?
Let's hope. That'd be so awesome.
who's the speaker?
As long as they buy tickets, right? That's all you can really hope for. Like, if you want to infiltrate, you just have to pay.
Kyle, you know, this weekend you should come on out. It's right in Stevensville, right off the Bay Bridge.
I can't. I have to watch my daughter this weekend, but thank
you. We're doing a live show, dude.
You don't want to bring her with a bunch of libertarian autists?
She's 10. Well, she's only 10 months old.
You don't
old.
Want to bring her to a brewery?
She's a little baby.
Degenerate.
Well, she's only 10 months old. You could just leave her. She'll be pretty much where you put her when you come.
Apparently,
home.
That's a new trend. People just leave their babies at home and go on like vacations and their baby just dies. Or
dude, that was the worst story
those,
in
like,
the world.
Water things.
Wait, what
that
happened?
Was the worst. It was the worst story I think I've ever heard. This woman in Ohio left her toddler, 18-month-old baby in a playpen for 10 days while she went on vacation to Puerto Rico. And the baby died of dehydration, starvation, you know, in the same diaper, you know, crying. It just,
what did she
know.
Think was going to happen?
Yeah. What did she, leave food
she
for
said,
him?
She said the world doesn't know what I was going through or whatever. You know, she was going through some emotional
distress.
I was on
a cruise
and she needed
and I
a
wasn't
going to
be bothered.
Right.
Dude, I have never been so infuriated, especially having a new baby girl and just imagining that poor baby went through.
Yeah.
She was sentenced to life in prison. I don't know why no one realized it was happening, but I walk around my neighborhood and I look at houses and I'm like, I haven't seen those people like ever. So
I don't even want to leave my dog downstairs by himself for more than like a few hours.
You just don't know what goes like on behind closed doors.
You just don't know what she was going through. You just don't know.
That freaking, I mean, what a monster.
Right. It was an all-you-can-eat buffet. And
it was a carnival cruise.
Not for the baby, apparently.
10 days.
100.
There's, like, there's video of the child like crying for its mom. And I mean,
there's video.
She had a video set up.
That's what I heard. I heard there's a baby monitor video or clips or whatever. I don't know how that's possible.
Shit,
ours doesn't record.
Oh,
I heard there's a video. I would not watch that video.
I know one mom.
She could have at least couldn't she have called like Uber Eats every other day and just like had some formula sent over?
They'd call CPS. They'd be like, holy shit, this is.
Nah,
like
there was another case where this one just happened after that, where another mom got convinced. She went on a cruise by herself and left her 6 and 8 year old home, and they were like pissed themselves and they were suffering from dehydration and everything. And she was watching them over the baby monitor, and she could chime in and talk to them, and Jesus, she still did it.
That's nuts.
Like, she's in jail.
Yeah, she's going to jail. Shocking. Shocking.
It's not very libertarian.
Well, I'm making exceptions. There's always enough stories like this to fund every like statist like excuse for like why we have to have, you know, checking up on kids, or why CPS. The teacher has to be able to have secret, you know, like meetings, or
we need special rules for children and animals, you know, because they can't fend for themselves. So
I just don't think you need rules. I just think you need consequences for people who violate children's rights.
Well, then you have to define those consequences, and you have to define what triggers those consequences.
My gun will trigger
I think it's
that.
Pretty well defined when your baby dies of dehydration that you are criminally negligent at best.
Yeah. I don't
let the jury figure it out at that point.
Yeah.
That's a rule. Private.
Okay.
I mean, other people would say, well, we better have mandatory welfare checks, and we should have an agent of the state come in every, you know, few days and check up on, you know, everybody, and maybe get permission to even have babies. And in fact, you know, in California, they're like, oh, wait a minute, we don't think you're a good candidate for being a mother. Here's forced sterilization. You know, it's like you go down that road, and it's, you know, next thing you know, you're a eugenicist.
Mm.
That's like what
government school.
I like a complaint based system, right? You know, someone
zero weeks since not
someone complains that somebody's doing something wrong, and then they check it out. I don't like the idea of having to do welfare checks on everybody all the time. That seems excessive. But
what about red flag checks?
Yeah, something like that.
There's a fine line about being against child abuse and then being a eugenicist. Apparently, James just found that line.
Well, he said it. I was like, yeah, there's a lot of people that probably shouldn't have kids, you know.
Yeah, but the problem is people in power think that they should to replace people like you, if you know what I mean. Get my drift.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of people that can't afford
people
their
that
kids.
Think they're smart enough.
Government will take care of it.
I mean, that's the problem. The problem is to tell others who to have kids and who not to are the ones that are like the child traffickers and the abusers and some of the sickest, nastiest effers like in our society.
The school teachers.
Yep. Oh yeah, there's a school teacher that that got suspended with pay for like apparently sexually assaulting like a 13-year-old girl, and the girl had to come back to the same classroom with like the teacher's picture there, even though he's gone. And they found out like the mother's like, or I'm sorry, the husband of the guy, or sorry, the wife of the guy is actually an assistant principal at the school. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Why is this person not in jail?
I don't know. And this is local too. This is like right in Anne Arundel County or something like that.
Do they
like,
press charges?
Yes, the parents are. Or the parents are trying to file charges for it, but they just suspended the teacher. That's it.
You know, I mean, well, think about it. You create this like honeypot of no accountability and a whole bunch of kids and a culture where you can pretty much get away with anything. And, you know, why, you know, like, gee, surprise, it attracts some of the worst scumbags.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything with kids attracts pedophiles.
Right.
Yeah. You know, coaching and teaching.
Yep. Coaching. Teaching.
And especially, but you add the element of unaccountability and, you know, basically, you know, hours and hours and hours unattended with these kids.
Mindless authority, you know, figure.
Church.
What'd you say, perch?
Church.
Oh, church. Well, actually, that happens at way higher rates in government schools and in after school programs. It happens at way higher rates than it does in the Catholic Church. Catholic Church just takes the heat for that. I mean, the Catholic Church was actively trying to cover it up.
Yeah, they have a more like global program of just kind of shuffling people around. Right. You know, kind of like the way cops do. Right.
Yeah, but that also happens in government schools. Like, that happens at way higher rates in government schools. And, like, people want to sit there and be like, oh, the church. It's the easy target, the church.
Can we just criticize both?
Yeah, we can. We absolutely can.
Like, why is it? Oh, you're less of a child trafficker. Like, you're saying,
hey, it happens at way less rates. And people want to sit there and say, like, you see how many ads you see coming up? We need to abolish government schools because there's too many sexual predators there. But you see that all the time with churches.
Yeah, the church.
Any of these groups, like mutilating the genitals of babies.
That's Jared's people.
The church really didn't do themselves any favors by taking the wrong approach, right? Instead of saying we need to purge this from our operation, there was cover ups. Uh-huh. You know,
and
they protected some of these people. And that actually in the end has made it worse for them. The publicity is worse for them and everything else. So
Completely agree. But anyway.
How about just stop fucking with kids?
Not a good time.
Stop murdering them and
just
stop.
Stay away from the kids. Jesus,
stay away.
It's that easy.
Yeah. Don't leave your kids at home alone.
But I think it kind of is baked into the power structure. I mean, definitely with government and probably any powerful institution, whether it's media, rap culture, that sexual blackmail. Like favors these kind of deviants, right? Because they're the ones that can be trusted with power because you have stuff on them, right? So once you can create a power network this way of loyal, obedient organization because you got something on it. Like they don't have anything on Ron Paul, right? So they can't stand Ron Paul because he never, you know, like he never went to Epstein's Island, you know. But right, if you can be controlled. Hey, let's get you in here. Like, oh, you're weird. Okay, we can work with that.
I heard they're blackmailing like little girls, not like teenage girls, with like AI generated nudes. You know, so it used to be if they could get a hold of some nudes of a high school girl, then they would threaten her with releasing those unless she did
Who's
whatever.
They?
I think in this case it was maybe high school boys or I don't know how they do it.
About that.
Yeah. I just saw an article about it and I was like, oh, that's creepy. Great. I mean, what are you supposed to do? An AI generated image.
Like, we're going to release an AI nude version of you unless you do something.
Try to pass it off as real.
Yeah. I'd be like, well, what do you, it's not me. I guess you got to do what you got to do. But maybe a high school girl doesn't know how to handle that or doesn't know how to respond to that.
I would monetize it immediately.
What?
That's illegal.
Wait a minute. What the fuck?
If you were a teenage girl,
what would you do if you're the girl who's like somebody's like releasing nude AI versions of you, right? You might as well just start profiting from it.
I'm not sure how.
She's a teenage girl. It's not gonna work.
Over 18, then yes, agreed.
Like the South Park thing.
Of course.
Question mark, and then that turns into money.
Son of a
somehow.
Bitch. Oh, AI generated nudes. I never thought it was something I'd end up talking about. We've been doing the podcast. You've been doing it, Jared, for like 9 years now.
Hmm.
I've been doing it for like.
All right, it's time for me to quit. Time for me to retire.
I'm not. I don't know anything about AI. I'm not into it. I'm an old man. I'm like, I'm not getting into this new technology.
You know, we haven't visited Mike Termott's AI on his website recently.
That thing's gone completely haywire.
Lisa, yeah. Or was it Lisa? Lisa, right?
Yeah, Lisa.
Yeah, we ask it all sorts of fun questions.
Did we break it?
We might have. We brought up.
I think when we asked it, like, when should you shoot a cop? I think that was the, like its first test.
Then it was like, oh, vote for me on December, blah, blah, blah.
It's like, how is that any different than like Alexa or Siri or whatever?
A libertarian version.
Just more retarded.
Oh.
A little bit more aspy, you know.
I mean, when that stuff came out like 10 years ago, people were like, oh, let's ask this goofy question.
Ask Jeeves, remember?
Yeah.
That was the first AI.
But let's face it, like Siri is terrible. Right. Like for all the hype that like Siri's gotten over the years, like it's just still terrible.
It's bad. Google Assistant is bad too. ChatGPT is actually useful though. I use it a lot.
When are we going to have like an interface where I can just be like, hey, phone, like, you know, like find me a gas station that's more than 5 miles off route and is, you know, one of the lower priced ones, you know, like something like, isn't this where we, you know, like, couldn't that be reality?
It's a good idea. Yeah, I think is that just a website, Jared? ChatGPT? I just go to a website?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a website. It's also an API, so you can hook other software applications up to it.
I'm not doing that. Just,
well, I know you're not doing that. I'm just saying there's a lot of different, there's a lot of things that are being advertised as like, you know, AI for this, AI for that, and they're all using ChatGPT under the hood.
It's like when they used to use the word blockchain to get a stock bump.
And it's all just like Ethereum or just nothing.
You guys want to hear something? You want to hear something interesting?
Just some marketing verbiage.
Yeah, just some text.
You guys want to hear something interesting?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. The X account, Middle East Observer, they got like...
Yeah,
they're followed by everyone follows and they're around for since 2010. They just said that so far there have been confirmed explosions going on in cities in Syria and Iraq. And apparently there's unconfirmed explosions going off in Iran. And yeah, Iran and Zawadia in Syria. Just 4 minutes ago.
All right.
That's fun.
Cool.
So maybe that's the World War III. Everyone was like, oh my God.
It's happening. It's happening.
Well, it's not. We don't know that for sure yet. We've become such
How long has Iran been on the list of countries to overthrow? Remember Project for New American Century? Right. Iraq, Libya, Syria, right? Iran. Mm-hmm. These are all, you know, countries that were listed for taking out. You know, oh, and surprisingly, they've all gone down, you know, and like they just cannot stop talking about war with Iran. I mean, remember Hillary Clinton laughing about it, McCain singing a song about bombing Iran. I mean, these people are the sickest, you know, warmongers imaginable.
They have wanted to
this
go
is
after...
on antiwar.com. Speaker Johnson unveils $95 billion foreign military aid bills.
That's what Snowden was talking about.
$61 billion for Ukraine, $26 billion to Israel, and $8 billion for Taiwan. I hope you all just paid your taxes.
I think it's great. I think they should fix this.
Like, I just
they should do 10 times that. They should do 10 times that, and they should make their spying bill even 10 times worse, too. Like, just who cares, right? Like,
just where I'm at, man. Like, who cares? Like, the game's over. Like, I'm just gonna sit here and say you're all fucking pieces of shit and pedophiles and the worst of us, and your system is flawed and will eventually fail you. It's like, let's just hope you don't kill everyone before
we just have to survive them at this point,
right?
Otto is so nihilistic. Like, or
not nihilistic. He's just recently.
What is going on with you?
I think he's being realistic.
Since the show started, he's just like, it's over. It's done.
Well, I've been trying to
hell with it all.
I've been trying to get him, Babs and I have been trying to get him and Alex to just give up the ghost of political action.
Now, the LP is fun.
I think we're finally winning.
The LP is fun. I will say the LP is good. It's good if it exists in its original form, just to be an asshole and just be out there just promoting liberty and just reducing the size of government and just run I mean, I, like I'm going to run for, I'm going to run for, what is that called?
Congress?
No, state? County, what is it?
County council?
No, not county. Damn it. What is it? The Board of Education. There we go. That's it. And I'll run for Board of Education. And my website's just going to take you to a link that just says abolish government schools, like, and just tells you why they're unconstitutional. And if you elect me, then that's all I'll do. And we'll.
I like the LP as just a place for libertarians to meet up and then just do base shit.
Right. Like that.
But like calling your senator and like going to like the fucking courthouse, like that shit is a waste of time.
I don't know. I had a friend that was in the involved in the Campaign for Liberty, and he was like a big strategy guy, and he definitely was a Republican Party takeover. That's the right strategy for this movement to go.
Look how that panned out.
No, I mean it failed, but that doesn't mean it wasn't. It's not the right strategy long term.
Well, we took over the LP. Well, it's hilarious.
It failed, but it might be the right strategy,
especially with what we learned during Ron Paul, when they got to convention. Blocked Ron Paul delegates, pre-scripted the whole convention, denied the supporters a chance to nominate Ron, changed the rules, rigged it as if taking over the party would have helped, right?
Well,
like,
I mean,
all those delegates seated were irrelevant, and they were a prop to justify what had already been scripted. So if you want to take over the RNC and your local thing, you could be that prop too, and you could get some kind of an elephant hat and a red, white, and blue jacket, right? And you could get out there and whoop it up, and they don't give a fuck.
Well, first of all, I mean, he had tried to insert delegates through other candidates and things like that. Like Romney had way more votes than Ron Paul did. And I just think that a lot of libertarians like yourself took the wrong lesson from that, which was like, okay, we can't get anywhere this way. Let's just go cry at home. And instead, they should have been like, well, we need to double down and we need to come back harder next year or next election. We need to get more people. You know, eventually you overwhelm with numbers. Instead, we were like, okay, well, we're just losers. We can't ever win this way. You know, but that doesn't mean you just quit. Like, you have to try it harder, you know, go right. with more
well,
people.
You have to vote harder next time.
Don't play the game until you understand what it's about. And I think the Ron Paul campaign was a great opportunity to learn what it's all about. And it's not about who's popular, right? Ron Paul won every single poll out there, you know, on the internet. It wasn't a popularity contest. It was a, you know, like we elevate these voices, we shut down those voices. And, you know, the same people are running both parties, both donor classes, all the donors are the same at the higher levels. Everything is, you don't get a say, but what you do get is to be the prop, and you get to be the one that says the what they can point to and say, see, it's democracy. See, it's not just us, you know, like forcing our will. It sanctifies what they have planned. And it's just kind of embarrassing to see.
Well, you know, I mean, it was a good strategy that. In terms of like getting on a podium, getting the recognition, getting on like mainstream television. I mean, I don't think he would have garnered that big of a following if he had stayed with the LP. I mean, he had been with the LP since the 80s and nobody knew who the fuck he was.
He never had any crazy idea of thinking that he was going to win the presidency.
No,
because, you know, Ron always just used his position, on the pulpit.
Yeah.
I thought it
I'm
was
just not sure. That's I'm just not sure you can replicate that.
Well, we don't,
I'm not sure you could get another Ron Paul to like get up in there and even, you know, winning, losing aside. I just don't know if they would even allow it to get that far.
You know what I mean?
Who? Yeah.
Malay, you know, might be somebody that you could point to and say, like, you know, following the Ron Paul path.
And oh, yeah. I mean, in like the United States.
Yeah. We don't have a leader right now as a movement or a front person.
That one Indian guy was like somewhat based. I mean, he was, Vivek, I don't want to say he was Swami? Ron Paul. Vivek? Yeah. He had some good anti war. Economic stuff, but
he would be the level. Smartest central planner to rule over us of right. their of that batch. Like he's smart, like
yeah,
but he also has all kinds of ideas about how to centrally plan sure. relationships I'm not, with China yeah. and this and that, you know.
Yeah, certainly not defending him, but.
Smart right. people can be really dangerous because they think they're smart enough to direct mm-hmm. human events.
But you know what smart people do, though? They sign up for our Patreon.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Right?
Yeah.
So you guys Every can be smart person. Too. Yeah, you could be a smart person too and sign up for as little as $3 a month, if you know what I mean. Maybe even
nah,
more.
I mean.
So we'll probably take it on over there now. Kyle, you gonna tap out for this one or
yeah, I gotta go, guys.
He's gotta get going.
Damn, so. Down to the Three Musketeers.
Right, right. We'll carry it on. But thanks, Kyle, for coming on tonight, man. I really appreciate it. I love hearing from you.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on.
And you should come to
thanks
the
for sharing your little toy.
I really can't, but yeah.
Sure. Sure. Like
just watch the live stream.
Yeah, right. There is no live stream. But anyway,
oh,
well. So speaking of the Patreon guys that I was just speaking of, sign up for that. Also, give us a like or a follow on any of our social media. Please just spread us a good review. Do all the fun stuff. Share with a friend. Like and also sign up for the Patreon. We're gonna record an after hours podcast right after this, and we'll send you a link so you get to, you know, make your comments, and we'll interact with you, maybe not. You know, you guys get access to not only that podcast but all the other after hours podcasts we've done, where we give lots of details, juicy details out. And yeah, so do that. And there's other ways to donate to the show by going to prlfans.com. And we also have t-shirts for sale over at libertariancountry.com. If you use the code PRL or PRL podcast, you get a 10% discount. You get a 20% discount if you use the code PRL2 at checkout and you spend $50 or more. So until next time, live free
or die.
Statism's been free, the blood that is shed. Drenching the flags of the tax mobs in red. Was it by a few at the expense of the many? Soldiers and cards in the death machine.